Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And coming up at 5:30, I would say there are certain segments that they're good radio segments, excellent radio segments even. They're a little spicier if you get to watch them on YouTube. And Competition Wednesday is one of them. And so if you can get to your smart TV or whoever you watch the show on YouTube at 5:30, I would recommend doing that. Right now, though, there's no need for any visuals. Just a nice little phone chat conversation with our pal, JP Finley.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not my beat.
Now, if we had JP on video, that'd be a different story. That you'd have to see. He is television's JP Finley, after all. What's up, dude?
I got a face for radio, Hoff.
Hey, it's better than a voice for print in this business, you know?
What's up, man?
Not too much, man. So we gotta get the latest info out of you, and then we'll try to make sense of it all. But from a pure information standpoint, we know Jaden Daniels missed practice today with this rib injury. What does that mean for his status Sunday?
I honestly don't know that it means anything. I you know how this works. I think there are fans out there that may react to this. I never expected him to practice today. I thought in any situation, even if he didn't even leave the game the other day, he wouldn't have practiced today. So, and kind of just one thing that folks may not realize, their Wednesday practice is pretty light. It's a lot of walkthrough. It's much more on the mental side. And then Thursday, they ramp things up physically. So, you know, tomorrow would stand out to me if he did practice still. But I never expected him to practice today. The fact that he didn't, I don't think, moves the needle one way or the other towards his availability for Sunday's game. I don't think we're going to know the answer until Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning even. You know, Dan Quinn was very clear that the next update will be Friday afternoon, but I think that'll be another non-update, frankly.
JP Finley, of course, the host of B. Mitch and Finley and the Beltway Football Podcast, also with NBC4, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So, JP, Dan Quinn keeps talking about that it's his call. One, what is the significance of it being his call versus, say, the doctor's call? And two, what do you think he wants to or needs to see for him to ultimately say, yes, Jaden, you can play?
Well, it's interesting that he's saying it's his call because I think the doctors certainly have a ton of input. If you want to take him at complete surface level, and I'm not sure you should, but if it really is just his call, would probably mean that he's been medically cleared. I'm not sure if that's the case, but like, there's no way it's his call if the doctors are like, dude, he shouldn't play. Then it's out of the coach's hands, right? But I think what he means more is he needs to make sure that he looks and plays like Jaden Daniels. And if you are okay to play, but then as you play and you run around and you show your ability to evade pressure in the pocket, take off running, go deep, work different arm angles, all of those things require either a really high pain threshold or feeling pretty good in your core and your core muscles. And that's where this thing is. And so I think DQ just means, like, if I don't see that he's looking like himself and playing like himself, then we're not going to put him out there.
Yeah, I think you're obviously correct. The doctors are going to have an input. And so, by the way, it's Adam Peters. There's no doubt that he's going to have...
Right.
Maybe Dan's the one who gets to say, you know, find out this is what it is, but it's going to come after a big meeting with a lot of different voices that are going to get to input. And then if he's like, he's playing, and Adam's like, I was in all those meetings. I don't agree. Then Dan's going to go, okay, Adam, you're right. That does kind of get to the point of... How they've done a great job of treating Jaden Daniels like every other person in that building, which is part of the reason why I think it's worked the way it has. But there's also the undeniable reality that he's the number two overall pick. He is the franchise. So how does that impact their decision for the immediacy of Sunday?
I mean, it certainly impacts it, and you've got to think long term, right? But, Hoff, this is kind of your an area that I think you, more than a lot of media people, have a lot of understanding of. And Beamish is kind of similar. From what we think we understand, right? Like, we don't know, but sure seems like there's not a broken rib. And the injury is probably where the cartilage kind of holds the ribs together.
Yep.
From what I have been told and understand to be true, that is not something that you – there's no, like, surgery for that. There's no magic vitamin for that. It's a time thing. And there's no – I'm sure they're giving him treatment and trying to stimulate the recovery and all those things, right? Like, I'm positive that's happening. But when they say week to week, it's because that could all feel better by Friday. Or it could take 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a bone. It's not a specific strain that they can that you can, like, put a timeline to. It's whenever this thing just kind of heals. And there probably are medicines and shots and whatever you want to call, like, painkillers that can make it palatable for Sunday if that's the path they choose. So I think them trying to provide as little information as possible is pretty smart. And on some level, it gives them – there's an element of gamesmanship to this as well in what should be a pretty tight football game and a fairly important football game. And, you know, two teams that are over 500 in mid-October.
No, you're 100% right. And just to kind of close the loop on the injury front here, the other risk that you take, even with the painkillers, is re-injuring it. And on some level, it's like the biggest thing, the first test, if you will, the first boss you have to defeat is actually being able to play football. Like, if you can't throw, well, then that's pretty easy. You're not playing. But then the question is, then this is where the doctors come in and can have a better answer. And someone, you know, I will tell my clients often, JP, I'm a trainer, not a doctor. So if you come to me with some injury stuff, I might be able to help you, but there's a really good chance I'm going to send you to someone with a lot fancier letters that they had to pay a lot more money for than the training certifications that I have. But, like, they've got to understand what the re-injury risk is, because sometimes, especially if you take a painkiller and it's more numb to whatever pain, not necessarily numb like a Toradol or whatever, but just like an Advil, and you don't feel it, well, then you twist it past what your body would normally send you a pain signal to protect, and now you've done more damage that causes you to miss two extra weeks on the back end. But congrats, you played 2.5 quarters on Sunday against the Bears. And they definitely are going to want to avoid that, both because they don't want to keep him injured long term and because that's worse for this season. So I think that's kind of the stuff that they're considering. Very, very, very tight lips to your point. So we'll see. So here's then the next type of thing. Yeah, go ahead and close the loop or whatever else you want to add there.
No, the only other thing that I think is probably worth adding is one of the biggest things for all their guys throughout, since these guys have taken over, and really it's fairly commonplace around the league, is you do, before you let them play, you want to see them push it a little, and then you want to see how they feel the day after pushing it a little.
Yep.
So I will be curious if we do see at least a limited availability from Jaden on the practice, like on this injury report. Obviously today is a DMP, but maybe Thursday he gets a limited role, so they at least see him out there and then see how he feels the following day. That could come Friday into Saturday too. But if he is going to play, I do think you see at least something on the field.
No, I think that's a great point. He can do a lot of mental prep with the VR and the way they practice with the walkthroughs, but I do think you're probably right on them wanting to test it physically. JP Finley with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, you can listen to him on 106.7 The Fan daily from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So then there's the Marcus Mariota of it all. The Panthers are abysmal, but when we were talking to your co-host on the Beltway Football Pod, Mitch Tischler, yesterday, as we do on Tuesdays, he seemed to think that what we saw on Sunday is pretty repeatable moving forward for Marcus with how well this offense is. Obviously not going to be that good because the Panthers are one of the worst teams in the NFL, but what's your confidence level in this offense with Marcus Mariota based off what we saw in camp and what we saw on Sunday?
I think that is a real question. I think Carolina's bad, and I think they were injured last week.
No doubt.
But I also think Washington runs the ball really well. And I know the Bears have a good defense, but I think they're going to continue to run the ball. And when you have a team that's able to move the ball on the ground, it takes off so much pressure for the quarterback. And it was Zach Ertz said to me after the game about Mariota, this offense, because Ertz was at Stanford, I believe, when Mariota was at Oregon.
Yep.
And he was kind of saying, he's like, man, when we played Marcus in those situations, I had never seen anything like it. And that this reminded him of Mariota in that Oregon offense and how perfectly suited he was. And it right now just seems like Cliff is pressing all the right buttons at all the right times. And, are you going to score 40 again? And, everything that happened against Carolina, I don't think you can expect that. But Jaden is an unbelievable playmaker and one of the most accurate passers I've ever seen. So I do think it's fair to assume some level of drop-off. But there's a reason this coaching staff was super high on Mariota, even when there wasn't a lot of statistical, empirical evidence to support it. And at least in his first backup appearance, he showed why.
Yeah, I think the thing that I struggle with, JP, is one, you're definitely correct. Carolina, not very good to begin with, super banged up, and they just never were stressed at all in that game, and the pass rush was non-existent, and that's playing like almost a glorified 7-on-7. And I just go back to camp, and I'm like, but I saw that dude in camp, and it was also this offense. How much has he really grown whilst watching Jaden operate it? And I'm not saying that Marcus would strike me as the kind of guy with his running skill set that maybe is better in games than he is in practice, that his playmaking can come alive in a way that just doesn't really replicate on the practice field. But I do kind of wonder, against a Bears team that is far, far better, 12 straight games holding opponents under 21, how much do they lean into that run game? My guess is a lot. But then what are the specific things that they ask Marcus to do, and how different are those things than Jaden? I don't know that Cliff's going to get remotely into answering that tomorrow, but like, I think that's probably what's keeping him up at night this week. And by the way, he can't afford to stay up at night. He gets up way too early to be up at night.
I am with you. We all saw Mariota's struggles in camp. Like, that was not a secret then. And I think when Mariota started pretty poor on Sunday against Carolina, a lot of us that watched every snap in camp were like, oh, man, here we go again. It was a pleasant, certainly a pleasant surprise how he played. I don't know that it's a great question, because was that a perfect storm against a terrible Carolina team, or is that just what the expectation should be? I don't have an answer.
Yeah, Cliff needs to have one. That's his job. He gets paid a lot of money for it, and we'll see what he says about it tomorrow. On the Jamin Davis front, you guys got the chance to ask Dan Quinn about cutting the former first rounder today. What'd you make? First of all, what was his answer for those in the audience that haven't heard it? And two, what did you make of his answer?
Simple, said it was just a roster spot for Jordan McGee. I think when you've got a guy that's been a healthy scratch a couple times, you got to realize how, tentative that roster spot is. And I think he couldn't have been nicer about Jamin the human. He just said, great teammate. It meant a lot that he tried to switch jobs and fight for that roster spot. We'll be rooting for him. I did not get the impression that they're like trying to bring him back to the practice squad or anything, especially if they view him as a DN. They also have shown you that they don't think he's a top 53 player at the position. You know, it's just a squandered opportunity. I think if you go through Jamin's 4 years here, or three and a half or whatever, the 22 season kind of stands out. He went over 100 tackles, a couple sacks, you know, some TFLs in there. There's obviously a lot of athletic ability, but it just it didn't work. I don't think they helped him trying to make him a Mike backer, but like these guys got here and they're not in it for saving previous first rounders. I think you saw that even earlier with the trade of Dotson, that like they're not going to base their assessments on previous draft status. And Beamish says this all the time, that like, one, he believes the Washington fan base has this over attachment to first round picks, and that may or may not be true, I don't know. But two, and I've heard, this is kind of an NFL thing, is draft status really only matters until you've played a year worth of games. Like, at some point, the game tape matters far more than what your combine numbers showed you could possibly be. And I think for Jamin, they got to that point. And I've said this repeatedly, and people get mad at me when I've said it and been correct every time. But when they don't pick up a first rounder's option, tells you exactly what they think of that player. And the last three players they haven't picked up the option on, that player didn't finish the fifth year with the team. In this case, it wasn't even the fourth year. You go back to Doxson, the TCU wideout, Chase, they traded away, and now Jamin, just a flat-out release. So whenever you see a first-rounder and the team says, we're going to wait on the option year, because even Duran, that they got the long-term deal done, they picked up his option year. They had to get the deal done going into his sixth season.
Right. You never get to a point where you lose a year of team control for a player that you'd like to control. I guess that leads to a final question then, JP, because Emmanuel Forbes has also been a healthy scratch at times. He also played, you know, got back in the rotation and had the pick last week. What are you hearing this week talking to folks around the building about Emmanuel, you know, the game that he had, how he's come back post-injury this time around, and kind of where his status is with the team? Because they did go back to the rotation on Sunday, which is something they didn't do in his first week back, where they had stuck with Igbinoghene, Saner Still, and St. Juice as the corners for the entire game.
I don't think Forbes is in real danger of losing, of being cut or something. I mean, you never know. It's a crazy world and trade deadline, you know, if you acquire a corner or something. But I don't even think Forbes is at the bottom of the corner depth chart on the active. I think that would be Mike Davis. But I think Forbes' inability to really help you on specials doesn't help anything either.
Yeah, he finally was out there at least for a couple.
I saw that. He got a couple snaps.
It might have just been in punt return safe, though. It might have been like, hey, just in case they fake it. I don't know that he's actually out there on real special teams. So there's
that. Yeah, I agree. I find it hard to believe he can do much for you on specials.
Yeah. Hey, we're flying to the ball and hitting people really hard is not exactly his MO. But if he can get some interceptions, I think they'll live with it. So we'll see what they do on Sunday against Caleb Williams and the Bears. JP, appreciate your time as always, sir. And see you at Northwest Stadium on Sunday, which, yes, does still sound weird to say.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, it's JP Finley with us here on the Hoffman Show. You can catch him daily, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., on 106.7 The Fan with Brian Mitchell, of course, B. Mitch and Finley. And I just saw, actually, let's see. Control F, Hall of Fame? No. Can I find, if I search Mitchell? There we go. Four former Washington players made the cut for the 50 remaining modern era Hall of Fame candidates. London Fletcher, Sean Alexander, Troy Vincent, and Anthony Haney. Brian Mitchell.
That's this year?
That's for this year. So top 50, still an uphill climb for sure, because you got to get, I think it's like there's 25, I think, semifinalists or something like that. And then it gets down to like 13 actual people that get in or whatever the numbers are. But yeah, man, like B. Mitch is the second most all-purpose yards in the history of the league. Yeah. Why not do it in the Hall of Fame?
ASAP.
Kind of wacky bit. I know returners, like, they only play so much, and that was his main thing, but that wasn't his only thing, and he's one of the best ever to do that. So there's that. All right, when we get back, it is time, Anthony. Our Wednesdays are filled with competition. Why? Because we're just emulating what Dan Quinn and company are doing over there. We like the sound of Competition Wednesday. We want to compete over here. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but either way, you're just happy that you're competed. Unless you lose and you have to spin the wheel of mediocre punishment. One of us is going to have to next, and then we're going to pick more games so that we decide who spins it again next week. Competition Wednesday is next on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We have the latest on Jaden Daniels from Dan Quinn coming up at 6 o'clock. Corey Kispert, 6:30, Wizards wing. I will say that this is our media day interview, so we did not talk about the extension, but he did just sign one, so an important piece of the Wizards' future. But, Anthony, right now we have business to take care of. It is Competition Wednesday here on the Hoffman Show, and on Competition Wednesdays, me, Craig Hoffman, the host of this show, the reason that it's called the thing that it is, and my fearless producer here, Anthony Haney, we go head-to-head on picks against the spread. We each pick three games of our choosing, and then we pick one that is the same game in case there is a tie so that we have a tie breaker. Last week, Anthony lost in heartbreaking fashion. He went 2-1. Very, very good week. The problem was I went 3-0. He then spun the wheel of mediocre punishment, which if you're watching on YouTube, you can see behind him over there, and I guess we're going to find out whether that was a mistake to leave it over there. I truly, honestly have not done the tally yet, Anthony. So we'll find out whether that wheel of mediocre punishment is going to stay on Anthony's side of things and be spun again, or whether we're going to have to find a way in the middle of this segment to wheel that big stupid wheel from Anthony's producer studio to my host studio and figure out who it is. Now, I said Anthony is a fearless producer, although I do think he has a fear of an ice bath, which is... Unfortunate for him, because that's exactly what it landed on last week. So, Anthony, without further ado, with that grandiose setup, are you ready to unveil the results of this week's Competition Wednesday?
I am ready, Craig.
Let's do it.
I did pretty good, actually.
Did you? Let's see. I got the sheet in front of me. First game that got picked was Thursday Night Football. Typically, a terrible idea. Good one for me. Why? Because the New Orleans Saints are terrible. I picked Denver -3. They won by 1,000. That's 1-0 for Craig.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah.
My first game?
Yep.
I had Eagles -3.
Sure did.
And they went on to put a spanking on them boys in blue.
I don't know how much New Orleans actually won by. I do know that the Eagles won by 25. It was 28-3.
Yeah.
Oof. Yikes.
Spanking.
My next game was the Detroit-Minnesota game. And I thought Detroit was going to win outright. So getting them as two-point underdogs, that was good for me. And sure enough, Detroit won outright. Detroit +2. They actually won, I believe, by 2.
Yeah.
And so that's nice. Do I get bonus points for picking an underdog? That's something we probably should have done. Instead, we didn't. I just get the win. That's 2-0 for me. Anthony, what's next for you?
I had the Colts -3.
Yeah.
This game was actually looking like a push. The Colts got a big chunk play and end up, you know, getting into field goal range. So that means Miami had to score a touchdown. So Matt Gay, shout out to you. They won 16-10.
That is a cover. They won by 6, 3-point line. Win for Anthony. 2-0 versus 2-0 into the final game, which I, again, did what seemed obvious. I took the better team, who was for some reason the underdog. Thank you, New York Jets. Thank you for being terrible. Steelers +2.5. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is back-to-back 3-0 weeks against the spread for your boy on Competition Wednesday, which means I'm about to go on an all-time bender. Don't pick anything I pick for the next 3 weeks.
You went 3-0 again?
I sure as bleep did, Anthony.
Wow.
Before we even get to your game, you want to know what the tiebreaker was?
The Packers -2.5.
It was. And guess what? Houston won by 2.
Yeah, I would have lost. So you went really 4-0.
Yep. I sure did go 4-0. So I don't. Your last game?
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. But go ahead and tell the people what it was.
Oh, it was the Falcons -3. They got their ass whooped.
Yeah, they sure did. So Anthony, that tiebreaker didn't matter. Anthony went 2-1.
Oh my God.
I went 3/4-0 this week.
This is ridiculous, man.
Hey, I don't know what to tell you, man. Look.
That's a good week. That's a great week.
You've gone 2-1 the last 2 weeks and somehow are having to spin this wheel twice. And I genuinely feel bad for you because 2-1 against the spread is hard to do.
But my thing is, you won the tiebreaker, so it didn't really even matter.
Yeah, this one hurts less. Last week, you actually won the tiebreaker. So technically, we both went 3-1.
Yeah.
But that's not how tiebreakers work. They don't play an extra quarter after the four, and then if you can even it up in overtime. No, that's not how the point totals work. Nope, nope, nope. So Anthony's going to stretch it out here, and he's going to bring over that big giant wheel. As a reminder, the punishments on the wheel, which we have not updated. We're just going to keep rolling with the ones that we have. There's 100 push-ups, which I have done, and you have to do them by 6 o'clock. That's pretty terrible. Although Anthony's very, very good at push-ups. There's buy the show lunch, so you have to buy, at the very least, you have to buy the other person lunch. Anthony has had to buy me lunch. There's a fantasy sub where you get to take someone out of your opponent's fantasy lineup and sub in one of their bench players. Mm-hmm. Can't do injuries and stuff. That's cheap. That's dirty. We're a show of decorum. I mean, good gracious. We're not savages. We're not heathens. I have done that one to Anthony, though. There is a costume show, which has not been landed upon yet, which we really decided is going to be a costume segment. You're going to have to wear a very silly mask, like the little classic mustache and fake nose glasses bit. You're going to have to wear that for either a segment or an hour. Maybe we'll do an entire hour. We'll figure that out. And then there's hot wings. It says extra hot wings, and I don't know why it says that, because this is a wheel of mediocre punishment, not of severe punishment. And so it's mango habanero level at Buffalo Wild Wings or something equivalent. I will say, Anthony, my guy Jamel, who trains with us at Elevate, he makes homemade hot sauces. And he made us a mango habanero.
Good.
It was good, but damn, that thing had heat on it. Like, my first bite that I had, I don't remember what I had it on. Maybe eggs? Maybe, no, it wasn't eggs. Eggs and mango habanero don't go together. Eggs and other hot sauces, too. What was it on? Maybe it's just some chicken. And I was like, ooh, that's sweet. And then I was like, I am warming from the inside. This thing has some serious pop to it. So, I don't think we'll use that mango habanero sauce. Unless we did, like, a one wing situation. And then we could. We could use Jamel's hot sauce on one wing.
Being here sweating, man.
Could be fun.
It could be.
One wing of super hot, that's mediocre punishment.
Have you ever had
a full flight of like something below that? Also mediocre punishment.
Have you ever had Roaming Rooster?
Yeah.
You've had their chicken sandwich?
I didn't get like super hot.
Even the mild chicken sandwich, I couldn't handle that. I'm so
Are you like, not a spicy food guy?
No. No. Like, at all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I handle spice better than you do.
You definitely do.
Based off of, do.
Okay. Yeah. I took one bite of the Roman Rooster chicken sandwich, and I was in tears.
I remember I got, like, a medium. What's the spot in Nashville? Hattie B's?
Uh-huh.
I think. It was, like, delivery. So it wasn't, like, hot and crispy and fresh. And, like, I had that, and I was like, this is a lot. But eventually I got there. I don't know. All right. Well, Anthony, it's about that time, eh, chap?
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
Not the life I deserve.
It's the life that you got. All right, give that sucker a spin. And it's rolling.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
You avoided the ice bath? Is that
it
what was next?
It was so close.
That looks like fantasy sub.
It is a fantasy sub, and I will take that. Oh, my God. If it went to another ice bath.
Would you just want to do six straight minutes? Or would you want to do two separate ones?
I think six straight minutes probably would be best.
Just double ice bath?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already in there. Like,
yeah. No, you're going to want to get out. That's for sure.
Really?
I did realize, though, 3 minutes is super mediocre. It should be five.
See, look, now you're getting out of hand because it's supposed to be mediocre.
I know. But like
for me, I know for a fact. 3 minutes in a nice bath. Ah.
My friend Elise like posted she did like a cold plunge thing the other day, and she's like, 5 minutes, and I was like, if you're doing 5 minutes just for wellness, how are we doing three for punishment? Yeah. We are a bunch of wimps.
I'm a wimp.
He's a wimp, but he's self-aware, everybody.
I am indeed.
Ladies, Anthony Haney. He's in touch with exactly who he is.
Yeah.
Which is a valiant characteristic for a human being.
Yes. That's me.
We're going to toughen you up.
Yeah.
One ice bath at a time. All right. So all that's left to do now is look at Anthony's fantasy lineup and figure out what I want to do with it. And then... pick some more games. So we will pick the next edition of Competition Wednesday Picks next. Then 6 o'clock, you'll hear from Dan Quinn in our pick six. It's six. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Time for Competition Wednesday on the pick side of things. 3-0 the last 2 weeks for me. 2-1 for Anthony. What did you shoot me? I'm just saying information, bro.
That's all good, Craig. You can rub it in now.
I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just saying I'm setting the stage for what happened. You got off the hook this week. You got your fantasy sub. There's no ice bath. You don't have to buy me anything. You don't have to eat super hot chicken wings or mediocrely hot chicken wings. Like, I just get to take your phone and be like, hey, sub that guy for that guy.
Yeah.
Super mediocre punishment.
Okay.
Take pride in your 2-1 record. They're good.
That makes me feel better.
I will also say, looking down the list of games this week, I felt pretty good last week. Like, I'm not going to say, like, I was, oh, yeah, super confident 3-0, because, like, that's not how this works. And a lot of times you do feel really confident, and then you get absolutely shoved. And that's why they air condition the desert. I don't like any of the game. Like, if I could just abstain this week, there's not a single game that I would bet on.
I got some.
Okay. Let's see how it goes.
All right.
You want, actually, no, I go first. Those are the rules, just because that's how it goes. When you win, which will definitely happen again.
I'll get there.
You'll go first.
Again.
All right. The one I think the best about is, I think Cincinnati's winning by at least 3 points against Philadelphia. Cincinnati's 2.5-point favorites. I think the Eagles' offense is very not great. I also do not trust their defense at all. And I think Cincinnati's offense is really, really good, even though they had a bit of a down week last week. So it's 2.5. Like, I could definitely see this going the other way. But, like, Philly's offense, dude, is so limited that it is literally go balls from Jalen Hurts, and then can Saquon go absolutely nuts? And if he can, great. And there's a chance that he does. I mean, we obviously saw the running game go nuts for the Commanders against the Bengals. But it is a much more complex, nuanced, you know, successful running game versus what New York is doing. And Cincinnati, I think, has gotten a few things tightened up on the screws over the last couple weeks. So I'm going to go Cincinnati -2.5 over Philly. They're at home. I feel that's the game I feel best about, but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I think if I was you, I would go the other way. I would go Eagles +2.5. So let's go Eagles.
You want to save that for the tiebreaker or no?
I mean, you don't feel too comfortable about any other game, so we don't have to.
Okay. All right. What's your first game?
My first game is the fourth largest spread of the weekend.
By the way, there are some enormous numbers this weekend.
And
that's part of the reason why this is hard is this, like, there are, at least as of Monday, I have to scroll back through in a second, there were 3 double-digit spreads. That never happens in the NFL.
It's 4 now.
It's 4 now? Jesus.
No, it's 3, my bad. It's still 3.
I think there was one that got to it and then another that dropped out. Like, one line moved positive, one line moved negative.
Yeah, I'm going to go, though, with the Ravens over the Browns.
I thought about this game long and hard.
Yeah, I just think, I'm not going to, I like Jameis Winston as the Browns quarterback. I just don't think he has a lot of weapons out there, though. They do get Nick Chubb back, but they're going against a stout Baltimore Ravens defense that doesn't really allow too much on the ground. So I just don't think the Browns are going to have what it takes to slow down this juggernaut of an offense that has Lamar and Derrick Henry winning AFC Offensive Player of the Week, week in and week out. Ravens by a landslide. I'm taking it.
So I literally started typing this game into my list and then was like, Jameis Winston makes me change my mind, which is an absolutely stupid thing to say because I don't think Jameis Winston's any good. The thing is, I just think that the Browns, with any level of competency at quarterback, are going to perform completely differently as a team. I don't think that they're good. I don't think they're going to be good. But if they can just, like, sustain some drives,
yeah,
then their defense has a chance to not be putrid. Because their defense is talented and better, and if they can just keep the game closer longer, like, there is something in there that can make the Browns competitive. And to an extent, we even saw it last week after Wentz went down, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson wasn't good at all. But they, like, they made the Bengals earn that thing. And so that's my only, it's a division game. Jameis, I just don't know what it's going to look like. That's why I didn't go this game. But if I had to pick one more, this one might have been it.
Yeah.
So I totally get why you're at where you're at. I am trying to pick some smaller numbers, though, which leads me to my next game. I am going to take the Atlanta Falcons -2.5 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which betting on the Falcons makes me queasy. because it's the Falcons. They're incredibly inconsistent. They're just incessantly frustrating. And yet, they put up a billion yards against this team like 3 weeks ago. And Baker doesn't have Godwin or Evans. So I don't know exactly how Tampa's going to move the football. And I feel like Baker could throw a couple of picks. You could get a pick six. Like, there's just a lot of ways in which, if you're telling me Atlanta's only got to win by a field goal, that I think this can play out in my favor. So there's a chance Atlanta wins by a lot. There's a chance that it's close and they pull it out and Younghoe Koo hits a field goal in the end. Then I get to run around my living room in celebration. Just kidding. I'll be watching this one in the press box. So I'll run around the press box in celebration. Just kidding. No, I won't. That would be unprofessional. The Falcons win this by three. I've got Atlanta minus 2.5 here. That's pick number two for me.
Yeah, I was looking at that game. That's a good pick, Rick. It's a great pick.
We have avoided this so far, but officially there are no rules that we can't pick the same game.
Yeah, I don't want to pick your game though.
I appreciate that. It's better radio that way.
Which
ultimately is our jobs.
I think for my second game, and I think I'm gonna kick myself. Actually, no, I'm just not gonna do it.
I was saying, why would you do it?
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it. My third game.
What game were you thinking about?
New York Jets -7.
I thought about that one too, but I was like, man. I have to pick the Jets or the Patriots, and I'm going to feel stupid either way.
Yeah.
So I get that. That's not my third game either.
I think I'm going to go with the Packers -4 over the Jags for my second game. I still think the Packers are a prime contender. Again, all we want to see is Jordan Love protect the ball. And I think he'll have a chance to do that this week. I think this should be a game where they have no problems, you know, moving the ball, sustaining drives, and getting these Jaguars out of here. The Jaguars stink. They have two wins.
They're coming off London, by the way.
Yeah.
Also, so there's some extra travel here. Yeah, I mean, the only thing here is that the Jags offense can be good, and the Packers defense is a little up in the air. By the way, maybe it becomes a little less up in the air over the next couple of weeks because apparently Robert Saleh is hanging out in Green Bay. He was the best man, or Matt LaFleur was the best man in one of their weddings. Like, one of them was the best man in the other's weddings. And so he's with the Packers in a fluid role, according to what was described in Green Bay. I think this is a great pick. There's a little part of me that's a little mad for not picking this game because I do still think the Jags probably are not very good. And every time they give you a little bit of hope, you're like, oh, never mind. That was against the Patriots. So they're probably not going to score 30 again.
Yeah.
But, all right, Green Bay -4. That was 4.5 earlier in the week. So the lines, you got a better line on that. My last game, I'm going to ride my Bills theory here.
Uh-oh.
Which is that the Bills are about to go on another run where they look like one of the best teams in football for 3-4 weeks. And that is really my reasoning why I think they could go to Seattle and win by more than three. The Seahawks, like, Geno's playing good football. They are without DK, if I'm not mistaken. So that definitely hurts their potential. I don't know if that's official yet, but he definitely was banged up. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Seahawks.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Yeah, I know he's hurt. Is he officially out for the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Questionable. Will miss Seattle's next two practices and then have his sprained MCL evaluated Friday before the team makes a decision on his status for Sunday's game against the Bills. So seems unlikely. He's got a sprained MCL. Either way, he ain't going to be DK Metcalf. And I think that's enough to push me even harder in the Bills' direction. Buffalo -3.
Buffalo -3. Okay, for my last game, I'm going to go... I'm going to take the Thursday Nighter.
Okay, which side of the Thursday night are you going to be
on? I'm going to take the Vikings -3. Thursday night football is a little weird.
It is, and I don't know what to make about the Rams having Cooper Kupp back. Is that enough to keep them competitive? Probably not.
Nah, because it's one dude.
Yeah, but like quick outlet against the blitz for Stafford.
Yeah, actually, I'm not even going to mess with Matthew Stafford. I'm going to go with the Jets, man.
You're going to do it?
I'm going to do Jets -7 over the Patriots. And if they let me down, mark my words, Craig.
I'm going to laugh so hard because I picked New England on Monday with this game.
Mark my words, Craig. Aaron Rodgers is done.
Whoa. Okay.
You know the high praise I had for him before this season.
Yeah, you thought he was still good. What a terrible, speaking of bad Anthony picks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's not been.
That has not aged.
And the thing
well
is, the problem is,
all.
It's not even that he's playing, like, he's playing bad football, but it's also, he is the offensive coordinator and their offense is a bad offense. It's not like someone else would come in and, like, crush that offense. The problem is the offense, and the problem is he's the one who's in charge.
And he's blaming people. I don't like
and
that.
And then he blames everybody else. All right, you get that at -7. I was going to say, if you didn't pick that game, I was going to suggest that one's the tiebreaker because I would be willing to be on New England there. All right, any
really?
Other? What game? Yeah. What game do you like for the tiebreaker? Is there another game that you were considering?
I would think you're probably going to go with the Chargers against the Saints.
I'm on the Chargers. Bye.
Are you on the Panthers to cover against the Broncos?
They just announced that Bryce Young is playing. No.
Okay. Well, what about this? What about this Chiefs? Cowboys 49ers. What are you saying?
I would be on Dallas.
You would be on Dallas? Ooh.
Yeah.
You'd be on Dallas?
Are you going to do that?
I'll go for the 49ers then.
Okay. You realize that you're 4.5 point, unless that line has moved.
Oh, no. I see -4.
But Dallas is, San Francisco's favored.
Yeah. I see San Fran -4.
Yeah. No, you're correct. The line has moved. So tiebreaker is Dallas +4 for Craig. Okay. I can roll with that.
Wow. I can't believe I just did that. We shall see.
Yeah, this is a weird week because, like, honestly, there's part of me that almost picked Tennessee, Detroit, and Detroit is like 11-point favorites. That's
who
the kind
are you going to pick?
I would pick Detroit to cover.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah, like that's the thing. There are a couple of games this week where the line basically cannot be big enough. It
like
is a weird.
Free, yeah, it's
yeah Chiefs. I mean, Vegas did beat them last time they played, but that's part of the reason why I think they're going to get absolutely dump trucked because the Chiefs are going to be like, oh, you thought that was fun on Christmas last year? Well, merry bleeping Christmas to you. JK, happy Halloween. You're dead now.
Were they the last team to beat the Chiefs?
I do believe that is the case.
Wow.
Yeah, that they won the Super Bowl and are undefeated this year. So they traded for new Hopkins today. So that's fun. All right, that's it. That's Competition Wednesday. Those are the picks. I don't feel nearly as good about them as I did last week, but we'll see what happens next Wednesday at 5:30. Coming up next, it is time for the Pick 6 at 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.